So this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
I hit record.
I hit record. All right. Welcome to Feature Creep, colon.
Built-in microwave, semicolon.
What did we just... the outrage of modern lighting failures?
Yeah, that's it, 100%. That's exactly what we're going to talk about, because I've had to experience this firsthand recently, and I can tell you that it's a pile of shit.
Right.
So, what happened is... I had to have a bunch of asbestos torn off my house because asbestos is a really dumb thing to make the outside of your house out of.
But wait, so before we go there.
Yeah.
Welcome to our podcast. I'm Ned. This is Meg.
Hi.
You can email Dana, the CEO and founder of this podcast, if you have any comments or concerns. And that email address is dana@fcbm.io. Definitely recommend emailing Dana anytime you feel like it. She's your best friend. You can just start long distance correspondence or whatever you want to do, but we'd love to hear from you. Okay.
That's so nice.
Now, back to that cliffhanger, asbestos on the outside of your house. Go on.
Right. So, I've probably mentioned it before, or maybe not. I don't know. We're pretty random, so I don't know whether I've mentioned it or not for certain. But we've been in a 2-year-long battle with our insurance company to get them to pay for this shit, and they finally acquiesced. And we got the asbestos removed, and then we got new insulation and a wrap and new siding put on the house after we got the new roof installed. And now the whole exterior of the house is done. And the people who put up the new siding were great. And the people who put on the roof were great. But the people who have done the asbestos, which is the really... I mean, it's not that it's more important than the other things. It's just more hazardous. And so you definitely want people who do a good job. That's the one who gets a D-. So right now, the outside of my house is no longer cancerous, but some of the yard around the outside of my house is, because they were not as careful as they should have been when they were removing the asbestos tiles, because they're ham-fisted men, I guess. I don't know. and just don't pay attention to
that all.
Like that. Right. Yeah, that's the most kind thing I could come up to say in the moment. Intersecting with this new problem is the fact that I garden. Like, to say that I'm an avid gardener is an understatement. And so now all of the land, the soil around my house within like a 10-foot radius, I guess you would say. Anything within 10 feet from the edge of one of the sides of my house basically is like a contamination possibility zone. And my plants have been trampled to death, and now there might be asbestos in the soil, which is hilarious. So, and by hilarious, I mean infuriating. So, we had to call the asbestos company to come back out because Miguel and I, my neighbor, who is also my contractor, and I kept finding chunks of the fucking old siding around in the dirt. And he's like, well, this is totally unacceptable. And the fucked up thing is that it was in the soil when the guys doing the siding were working on it, and they were like, you know, kicking it up and shit. And so it's like now they've basically been exposed to it without realizing it. And in order for you to like move on with these, like, we had to get permits and stuff for all this construction that's happening in the house. So the city of Minneapolis had to come out and they sample the soil and determine whether there's any remnants of asbestos left in the soil from the removal process, right? And they like were like, nope, seems good. And Miguel and I are like, okay, how has this eluded two groups of people now whose literal job it is to look for this?
Right.
Like, We can see it with our bare fucking eyes. My house used to be a sea foam green. Like, get a box of crayons, look in the box. There is a color, a classic Crayola color called sea foam green. It is not a color that appears in nature outside of fucking Fiji, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, and right now everything here is dead and brown. So, like, if a chunk of sea foam green siding is on the ground, it's you can see it with your bare eyes. Like, you don't, it's not hard.
Right.
And so I'm really frustrated because it's like, what? Like, I have zero faith now. I have zero belief that there is not asbestos contamination all over my fucking yard now.
Right.
Because I can see tiny chunks of it. And so, okay. So anyway, we call the asbestos company. They come back out. They were just here this morning. They clean up some more. They have these fancy vacuums that they use, and they were vacuuming all along the side of the house, vacuuming. And so then I went, Miguel was like, I'm calling a second company just to have them come and double check because, like, at this point, I'm skeptical too. So they're coming out, I think, maybe tomorrow or something, tomorrow morning at like 9. But, like, the city inspector passed it, so now they're going to have to come back out again at our request to, like, retest all the soil and everything to make sure there's no contamination, which, obviously, we know there is. It's not a hypothetical question anymore.
Right,
it's
like right.
It's like, we know there's contamination. Why isn't anyone able to figure it out? So we asked another asbestos company to come out, and, like, they came out. And they were like, well, why didn't you call the asbestos company that, like, made the mess? And we were like, we did. We just want you to double check it. And they thought we were fucking crazy. So we had to find another one that was willing to come out and just do, like, a thorough check or whatever. So that's why there's another one coming tomorrow morning. Now that all of that is off the house and the new siding is back up.
Yes.
We had the opportunity.
This is where the important part of the story comes in, because nobody gives a shit about your stupid garden and asbestos contamination and all the other shit.
My stupid cancer garden.
Right.
Get to the part about design. Well, the first little angry part is about design. Don't design houses that have cancer-causing material that's impossible to remove without contaminating all of the surrounding area on the outside of your house. This should have been knowable, but nobody gives a shit. See, also, stoves and ovens that burn gas in an open fire in your house. Not hard to figure out that's a bad idea. So the back of the house now has a bare spot where the old light fixture used to be. And it was like this weird light fixture that was there when I moved into the house. And it's like a motion sensor light floodlight thing. And I never really liked it because I tend to sit out there a lot, even in the evening, and I don't really like the motion detector light going on and off. And also, it's just like this floodlight. It's not peaceful or atmospheric. It's just very utilitarian. And since I've fixed up the back of the house, I really want something that is like pleasant to experience and not something that makes you feel like you're the criminal and the light is coming on to catch you in my own home. So I got to, like, it's some kind of privilege. I thought it would be a privilege to be able to pick out a new light for the back wall of my house and near the back door. And I knew what the budget was that the insurance company was willing to pay for a new light fixture. And so I thought, ooh, I'm going to go find something interesting. So there's a couple of lighting stores here in town. And they have, like, you know, their whole shtick is like, ooh, don't get a boring light for your house. Get an interesting one. And we've got thousands of them, right?
Right.
So this, how much of this, the following, what I'm about to tell you, how much of this irritated me because of the personalities involved is almost equal to how much of this irritated me for, like, straightforward and objective reasons.
Right.
So this this gets, like, both personal and, in the general sense, very irritating.
Yeah.
So I went to a lighting store in town named Muska Lighting, M-U-S-K-A. I think it must be somebody's last name. And the experience. Let me tell you about the experience of going to this store.
Yes, please do.
So I was, like, avidly searching for an interesting light, right? I'm like, I don't want any of the boring stuff. I just want the cool stuff. Like, where's the cool stuff? Because somebody else is paying for this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, ultimately, I'm paying for it because you pay a shitload of money.
Yeah, yeah, you've paid
you
for
never
it.
Yeah. Get back. I paid for it many times over, so I'm going to get a cool light. So I go in there, and it's in a this showroom is not in like a large space. It is in the type of space that you would expect any kind of like single story storefront to be in.
Okay.
Like in other words, there's like chandeliers and shit hanging from the ceiling that come to almost the top of my head. Because okay. the ceiling is not especially high in this place.
Yeah.
And the floor space is not especially expansive. It's not that many square feet inside the store. And so it's very claustrophobic in there and very, very bright.
Right.
There's like, you know, a common trend is to make chandeliers look like they're made out of, they're basically like jewelry for your house, right? So very yeah. glittery and glinty. Yeah. And I usually love that. But when you're like surrounded by it within inches of your face in all directions, it's a
yeah,
little,
it's a little intense.
A bit much.
Yeah.
So I went in there and they
so would you say that this lighting store had spent almost no, I like either they'd completely failed in their attempt to do good lighting design inside yes. the store, or they just yes. had not considered that a store about lighting might want to show off their lighting design skills. Anyway.
Right. I mean, like, you know, when you go to Home Depot, to the big box store, and they yeah. have the lighting aisle, and they hang a bunch of like ceiling fans and chandeliers and yeah. different types of lights on chains and all that stuff, but they like stagger the height of them. So they're sort of like distributed throughout three-dimensional space. They're not all like
yeah,
right in just, next to each other on the right. same plane, right?
Right.
That at this store, everything kind of had to be on the same plane because it wasn't a tall ceiling like you have at the big box stores. It was a very right. short ceiling. So basically all of the chandeliers were as low as they could go and all of the other lights and everything. So it was just like impossible kind of to see where one light ended and another began. And like I get in there and it's just like, I was like, oh my God, I didn't think it was going to be this claustrophobic. And they've got wall like light fixtures mounted on every vertical surface, hanging from every available spot in the ceiling. There's mm-hmm. like tiny furniture, like end tables and things like that with lamps all over them everywhere. Like it's just overwhelming. And then I like get inside and I start to look at stuff, and I think what I was going to say before is like people there must work on commission because I was like attacked by salespeople. Just like, whoa, what do you need? And now is a good time to explain to you how I think about this. I think kind of algorithmically about stuff like this. I know that there's a whole world of lighting fixtures out there, but I'm only concerned with lighting fixtures that go on a vertical surface, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Like it has to be a wall-mounted light. That's the situation at the back of my house. It's an exterior wall-mounted light. So it has to be good for indoor, outdoor, and it has to be a wall mount, not like a hang from the ceiling sort of thing.
Right.
So and beyond those stipulations, I don't really know what I want, right? So it would behoove us to eliminate all of the possibilities except lights that can go outside and lights that also go on a vertical surface because they are wall-mounted.
Sure.
But that apparently wasn't like a thought process that they were sort of in tune with, I guess. Like they wanted more from me, like as really specific things.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, I'm really open to a lot of things. I just am not entirely sure. I don't have like a picture in mind of the type of light I want. Well, let me tell you, 99%, maybe that's an exaggeration, 89%
mm-hmm.
of all the lights out there look like you are a train conductor with your lantern.
Yes, right. Yes.
Or you live in a
you're
horse
like
barn.
1880s, like, yeah.
Yes, like some industrious, hardworking blacksmith hammered out this fucking metal cage for uh-huh. your light. And then you went to like a glass blower who made a glass for you and all this stuff. It's like, what is this like fucking hurricane lamps from the fucking 1700s. Like,
yeah.
It's insane. It's all like this weird black metal or black painted metal that kind of sort of looks like cast iron, but not really. Uh-huh. And like anything that doesn't look like it belongs in a barn looks like it belongs on a train. And then they also have the like, ooh, I'm an industrial light, you know, yeah. with like the cage around it. But you're like, why does it have to be there? And all of these light fixtures have glass in them, which of course, just like a clear glass, translucent glass, lets you look right at a bare bulb. So you're basically just putting like a glass cage around a bare bulb and hanging it next to your back door. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, so there are some more things that I can tell these people to narrow it down. I don't want to have to spend money on a fixture that doesn't solve the problem of me staring at a bare fucking light bulb.
Right.
Like, I don't want to look at a bare light bulb. I want you to put a shade around it so that it gives off like an ambient glow, not like a fucking bare light bulb.
Right.
Okay. They're like, great. No light. Right. No bare light bulbs. They're already at this point. They're already like, you're a fussy customer and we're getting irritated with you.
Oh, son of
like, we've only yeah. made it this far in.
Right.
And I was like pretty clear. Like, yeah, I need something that goes outdoor on a wall. I don't want to stare at a bare light bulb. And so then they show me some other lights. And there are some really cool, interesting lights that have integrated LED strips, right? So they have yeah. like, they have these cool ribbon lights that are like, they look like a ball of yarn that's been kind of like tangled and it lights up. And so they're okay. and all in different types of shapes and stuff. They're cool. They're very cool. I don't know that I'd want one on the back of my house because that's a little strange given the context of the decor and the outside. But
sure.
They're neat. I wouldn't be totally against owning one. But I was talking to this woman who walked over to help me, who was then also attacked by the man who helped me when I walked in the door because yes. he was like defending his turf from her because I've been claimed. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
He wants that fat commission on the light I can't seem to settle on. So this woman is talking to me about.
I hate commission sales. I mean, this is 100% why I detest going into a store like that. But sorry, anyway, go on.
No, you're absolutely right because they don't care what you actually need. They just care that you end up buying something. And like, I don't necessarily blame them that everybody's got to work somewhere and you can't avoid these things sometimes.
Well, I don't just like I don't blame the workers. I blame the environment. Like they're
yeah.
Most of the time, you know, like you'll have people who are really successful at it and they'll talk about like, oh, no, this is how I handle a customer. And it's like, yeah, exactly. You're already talking about how you handle a customer. This is right. problematic. Like the real issue is that, you know, so many of them end up feeling so desperate to get some kind of sale, which they are mm-hmm. because they're sitting in an environment where they're like, I need to make a living. And the only way I can is to get people who come through the door to buy more than they need.
Right. Yes. And it's like if you're going in with a strategy, it's the situation's already fucked because like, yeah. now you're not really listening to my situation. So like I'm talking to this guy and I'm like, yeah, no bare light bulbs. Got to go on the outside of the house. Has to be vertically hung. And then I'm talking to this woman that he eventually chases off when he sees her talking to me. And she's telling me about these like fixtures with the integrated LEDs, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, so let me ask you a question. And she's like, yeah. I was like, what's the warranty on these lights? Or I think she actually mentioned like, you know, these ones are integrated LEDs and they have like a warranty of 5 years. And I was like, 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah. And I was like, well, let me ask you a question then. Like, I mean, I'm going to live in my house until I die, which hopefully is like
many years
yeah. into the future. So like I'm definitely going to surpass the 5-year warranty mark. And from my experience with other warrantied items, they usually are designed to fail right after the warranty runs out so that the company's not on the hook to repair your thing. They're on the hook to tell you to go buy another one, which is like how our right. whole fucking stupid economy works right now. And I didn't say all of that to her. I just said, so the warranty is 5 years. I'm definitely going to have the light longer than 5 years. Like, what happens if the LEDs burn out. And now you know, and I know, because I live with someone who knows,
yeah,
that like we could just tear the light apart and replace the LED strip. We could solder a new one.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal, blah, 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 right?
Right.
Not the issue. She doesn't know that I know this, whatever.
Yeah.
I just say, what happens if the LEDs burn out? She goes, well, you get a new fixture. And I was like, wait, I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, you're like, wait, back up.
Did you just say get a new fixture?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah. And I was like, so, wow. Okay. So the things that you're showing me right now are designed to be thrown away when the bulb burns out, is basically what you're telling me. Instead of just being able to replace the light up part, you have to throw away the whole fixture. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm not okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, I mean, and this is the point at which you hear like the approaching siren. Wee-oo. And suddenly this man who's like breathing down my neck is back, like shooing her off angrily. And she kind of like, and scuttles away.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, what's the situation now? And I was like, the situation is, I understand that all of these really interesting looking fixtures that have LED lights in them are designed with LEDs built into the light. And when the LEDs burn out, you have to throw the whole fixture away. And he said, well, right. And I said, right. But like, first of all, this is like a $300 fixture. And second of all, this is literally like what's wrong with our entire culture. Like our design culture in a lot of cases designs for things to be disposable instead of durable. And that attitude and that orientation is what has given us such a rapacious capitalist culture that seeks to constantly make more and more and more money all of the time, never less, never pumping the brakes like we're talking about the other day.
Right.
Like, This is why we're in the shitstorm that we're in like 7 years from now, we're all going to be dead because there's not going to be any more oxygen because the food web collapses and there's nothing to pollinate trees. So like I guess now I have another restriction to add to my like algorithm here of my sorting function for what lights. See, everybody's like, well, what light do you want? And I'm like, let me tell you what lights I don't want.
Right.
I don't want fixtures that are designed to be thrown away after 5 years, especially when they cost $300. So this guy pulls out some paper and is like, what is that? $300 over like five. That's only like $20 of something or other. Right. And I'm like, it's not about the money. It's not about the money.
He's like, look, if you think of it as a subscription model, then it's just not a big deal. Because then you're just paying $20 a month for the next 5 years.
Right. Yep. That's exactly what he said, essentially. And I was like, I'm not into that. So now I need a light fixture that actually takes light bulbs that you can change in and out. He goes, well, any light bulb you get is just going to be an LED anyway. And I was like, you are not understanding the problem.
Yeah, completely missing and everything
like,
going on there.
I was like super gentle and kind with these people. Like I did not speak to them with the tone that I am complaining to you right now.
Right.
Like I was not forceful. I was not irate. I was incredulous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, really? Like, that's the, so this is designed, like, this is not an accident. This is designed this way.
Right.
On purpose.
Yeah.
And this woman says to me, who was like, shoot and scuttled off. She's like, well, most fixtures nowadays are built with the integrated LED. And I was like, right. So that means that most fixtures are designed to be incredibly wasteful because you're throwing away all of the materials that are non-essential to the functioning of the LED and the LED itself. So like, you're just designing this shit to be disposable. I think it's ridiculous to design an outdoor lighting fixture that is disposable.
Mm-hmm.
That's unacceptable to me. I do not want to participate in that culture, in that commercial culture. I don't want to support that. And so they were like, now they were just like, this is the most unreasonable bitch we've ever met in the store, right? She doesn't want integrated LEDs and she doesn't want chandeliers and she doesn't want anything that looks like it belongs in a barn stuck to the outside of her house. So I like, then this like aggressive man like hauls me over to the sales counter and he's like, let's just look up all of the lights that take light bulbs and see what we have, you know? And he's like, my request is preposterous. Like my outrage at our throwaway culture is somehow not only novel, but offensive. like they were like, well, like all lighting fixtures are like that now. And I'm like, that doesn't change a thing.
That changes nothing. Worse. Yes.
It changes
right.
nothing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. They're all like that now. I completely have different feelings. I'm totally okay with all light fixtures being thrown away now.
Mm-hmm.
When the light bulb burns out. Like, just ridiculous. So anyway, he drags me over to the counter, makes me look through the computer with him, and it's like, okay, I could go online and do this. In fact, I already have. That's why I was desperate enough to come here in person, because I didn't see anything online that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really need you to handhold me through, like, 70 pages of lights scrolled down on the mouse. Like, I know right. how to do all of that for myself. Thank you.
Right.
So I left there, and I was like, well, I am never going back to that lighting store ever again, because there was, right. like, not enough stuff there. So then I went online, and I found, like, all, like, some really interesting websites that have lights that they're like the people at the store said, they're all integrated LED lights anymore. And that's when Damon and I had the conversation about, like, if we're going to spend like $600 on some artistic light for the outside of our house or something, I mean, 600 is a gross exaggeration. We're not spending sure. that much. Like, if I'm going to spend an ass load of money on a fixture that I'm going to keep on the outside of my house that, come hell or high water, I'm not leaving until I'm dead. Like, it better last the whole time. And if it's going to, if we have to end up with something with an integrated LED on board, we're just going to make sure that we can strip it out and replace it ourselves, right? Not that big a deal. I'm sure on some models that's not even possible. On others it is. We'll just have to figure it out. So I did find some really fucking cool websites. And one of them has very interesting, like, the lights are kind of like works of art themselves. Like, for example, they had a crescent moon with like craters and stuff in it that lights up and you hang it on the wall. And that sounds really tacky and stupid, but the way it's designed is gorgeous. And they have some like really abstract sort of like lights that look like a horizon line with like a tree that sticks up from it. Anyway, very cool shit, but they're like mega expensive. And I just really needed to get something installed when we had the electrician. So now I'm back to square one, right? Because like the super fancy ones, I would have to save money up to justify the expense. And I need to get this done when we have the certified or like licensed electrician here. Mm-hmm. And so Miguel tells me, oh, just go to Menards and look there. Like, they'll have a bunch yeah. of stuff that's super affordable and it's not going to be fucking crazy. And you'll find something and, like, you know, just stay within the budget. It's not going to matter. And then if you want to change it out later, we can change it out later. And I was like, okay. So I did end up finding one that's really nice. It is an integrated LED, but instead of being like a solid form, it's basically like it's where it attaches to the wall.
Yeah.
There's a little piece that sticks out, juts out from the wall, and then that piece attaches to the light fixture itself in the spot where it lights up. And it's just this like rectangle mm-hmm. that's open in the center. And so it's kind of like a ring light, except it's in the shape of a rectangle.
Gotcha.
And I like it. It's fine. It was $50.
Right. I mean, that's certainly, you know? I do question. The thing that really, I think, bothers me about the integrating lighting, mm-hmm. like, that I just don't see, you know, I'm kind of, while you were talking about this, I've been skimming through some, like, arguments for and against, right? And yeah. a lot of people are like, well, you know, there's certain kinds of shapes and profiles that you wouldn't be able to have with a traditional sort of, like, Edison bulb style, right?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. But this is the thing that I think of. Like, you build this house, right? And now I'm mm-hmm. this like old woman or man living in right. this house where I can't, if shit breaks, if a bulb mm-hmm. burns out, I can't replace it. I have to right. call a fucking electrician to come out and change it.
Right.
And like, right. it's just like,
it's crippling to the consumer.
It's crippling. Yeah. It's not even a matter, like, forget about the question of waste. And, you know, one could argue whether throwing away a completely encapsulated LED bulb solution that's in the style of an Edison bulb versus right. an entire fixture, etc. Like, you know, if that's still a wash, it doesn't change the fact that one of them, consumers can completely service this thing themselves when it burns out, and it will.
Right. Yes.
This is a known thing. Otherwise, the warranties wouldn't be limited to 5 years.
Right.
And I'd be willing to bet that the 5-year warranty is more just a bet on the side of the company where they're like, yeah, but people aren't going to bother to even claim this shit because in 5 years they won't have the paperwork.
Right. Yep.
But anyway.
I mean, it's like we can get into the fucking ethics of this too. Like the ethics of designing shit to be inaccessible to the consumer, they suck. Like it sucks because that means you don't own anything. If you can't repair something that you've purchased outright and paid for in full, if you can't, like this gets into the right to repair and there's like laws. Minnesota was one of the first states to pass a right to repair law. Like, because people here use John Deere tractors and it used to be the case that you couldn't repair your own tractor because John Deere would fuck you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. Yeah. And everybody here farms. So it's like, well, that's kind of a fucking problem. Like, I don't know what you expect us to do. This just grinds everything to a halt because there are not enough people to fix enough tractors. It is extremely time consuming and expensive to haul your tractor someplace for someone else to work on it or for them to come to you. Like, it's not practical. So the ethics of this are bullshit because it takes power away from the consumer. It means that you don't actually own anything that you buy. Like, the guy at the store already has the mentality, well, if you just subdivide the total sum by the number of months that you own it, whatever, 60 months, it's only $20 a month if you have it for 5 years. That's nothing, you know? And it's like, don't fucking subdivide the total cost of a light. I have to pay up front for this light to walk out of the store with it, asshole. So it doesn't cost $20
a month. How about at the end of the 5 years, I give you $300 when it made it all the way out? Anyway, sorry.
Right, assuming it makes it that long. And then if it doesn't, if the integrated LED burns out before, then you can file the fucking paperwork to get my light fixed. So it's so annoying. So like the very ethics of this type of design where things are designed to fail and they're also designed to fail. Oops. They're also designed to fail within a short distance temporally of when the warranty is set to expire. How do you think they fucking decide how long a warranty is? It's all about statistical rates of failure of the object in the field.
Right. Exactly.
Like, we can guess that enough of these will make it to 5 years that it's worth it for us to put the finish line at 5 years. And like you said, assume that nobody's going to keep their paperwork and that'll rule out a few more people who try to make claims on their bullshit light bulb that burns out before it's supposed to. I mean, I can accept that it may be a really long time before these LEDs burn out. I have an LED Philips light bulb upstairs that was one of the first generations of LED light bulbs that you screw into a lamp. And that thing, I have moved houses many times with that. I've had it for more than 20 years. It was so expensive when I bought it. I could only afford one a month. Like I had to save up money for two paychecks to buy one because it was like a $60 light bulb or something. And I just couldn't swing buying a $60 light bulb.
Right.
But I still have it. So by that guy's logic, when my ass was like incredibly destitute poor, living off of $80 a paycheck, where a single light bulb would have consumed 75% of my workable income, I don't think it's helpful. I'll just zoom back in time and tell past Meg, hey, guess what, though? It's going to last you 22 years and running. So really, that thing's only costing you cents a day.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, fuck you, man. Yeah. Like, I would think for somebody who works on commission, they'd be a little more sensitive to the breakdown in value of these items.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really frustrating how at every step of the process, is designed to fuck you. It's designed to fuck you with the upfront price. It's designed to fuck you with the fact that you're not going to be able to probably access the warranty when you need to. It's designed to fail and take the entire ship down with it.
Yeah.
It's designed not to be repairable. It's designed not to be, you know, components replaceable. Like, it's an all or nothing thing. This all or nothing thing is just like totally unethical because it screws everybody and it creates a ton of waste and it like builds inflexibility into the system. I mean, like, I can't tell you how many levels on which this pisses just me off.
Maddening. Yeah.
And it like this all just hit me like really quickly when she was like, oh, well, they all have integrated LEDs now and they have a warranty of 5 years. And I just thought to myself, I mean, the thing that really shocked me up front was that the warranty was so short because I own a light bulb, for example, that has lasted me 22 years. And it's I don't think it's anywhere near burning out. Right.
Yeah.
Like you would think that for something that is constructed to live outdoors, it would incur a level of durability in the design that interior products would not. I would expect, if I have a light bulb in my bedroom that's been burning for 22 years straight, that I could expect maybe 20 years out of a light fixture that is not like component replaceable, that it is designed to be like exposed to the elements outside. Like, it's got to be a little more rugged, right? Like, five fucking years? Really?
Right.
Like, it's an, when she said they're integrated LEDs, immediately I'm like, LEDs last for fucking ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then she's like, 5 years. And I'm like, they don't. They don't. The LEDs in this bulb only last for 4 years and 11 months, or or 5 years and 1 month, or whatever.
Right. It is, yes. Right? Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. I was so dumbfounded. So I'm excited because the electrician is coming one of these days soon. I can't remember which day this week, but they'll have the new light up, and I'm excited to just have a light outside of my back door that isn't like, I'm catching you burgling. So lighting design really fucking sucks. Like, and the fact that they were like, well, all of these lights are like this now, I was just like, oh my God. Like, the whole, so I just started to think of this as like a pyramid scheme, right? Where like at the top are all of these designers designing throwaway things. And then they've convinced, through sheer like volume alone, they've convinced a bunch of people whose job it is to sell these things to like take the attitude that it's like, well, if you have a problem with this design, it's your problem because all of these are designed this way now. So that's just the way it is. So I don't know what, like the guy was like, well, all of these LEDs are on board now. So how did he say it? It was something like, I don't know what else you expect.
God, just
first of all, I just learned this. Second of all, I'm shocked by it. And third of all, you're pissed off at me. Like, I'm the problem for not getting on board with the shitty way everybody else is doing everything.
Right.
Newsflash, I'm not the problem. I'm just pointing out the problem.
God damn.
And your problem is not the problem. It's how you handle the problem that's the problem.
So here's, speaking of LED bulbs burning out, here's the thing. So I wasn't totally prepared to talk about this, so I'm just going to caveat that, like, this is a little bit of, like, me remembering what I learned about it versus, like, factual. So those of you who are listening to this, please, please take this with a grain of salt and, you know, use your own judgment in terms of, like, studying, like, research for this. But I believe
neither
that
of us are experts in anything, so don't treat us like we're fucking authority figures with a duty.
Right, right.
Whatever.
Like, so my understanding is that at some point, somewhere in Dubai, some, you know, rich one of those Dubai people who own everything and do all the things, like, you know, the Sultan or whatever they, you know, whatever the leadership,
the Emiratis.
Yeah. They basically want all these LED bulbs like all over their building, right?
Yeah.
But they don't want to fucking change them when they burn out. So they commission these bulbs through Philips called the Dubai lamp. And these lamps are designed not to burn out. And so they burn out eventually, but they last a really long time. And they're LED bulbs, and they're kind of those, like, those faux Edison bulb styles where they have the LED, like they have a little filament LED.
Yes.
They look nice. They give off a nice light.
They do.
So essentially, the Dubai bulbs they're marketed as these Dubai lamps. They're marketed from Philips as these like ultra efficient ones, but they're only legal in Dubai.
Oh, motherfucker.
And essentially what they do is they output the same, like, rather than driving the LED elements too high, like so they burn out faster.
Yes.
They have more elements and they drive them with less current each one. So overall, they put out the same amount of light. They just have a few more elements in them.
Yes.
And they use roughly the same amount of power, but they're actually more efficient because they're not being overdriven. So they're not turning as much of that into heat waste. And so and like, this is the thing that's nuts. It's like, this was not a hard stretch for anybody to make this bulb, right?
Right.
Like, Right. This isn't like some fucking innovation that someone like, I mean, they're marketing it like that. Philips talks about it like it's this fucking amazing innovation that's nowhere, no one's ever thought of. But it's just basically like somebody with enough money and clout was like, nope, you're only allowed to sell me bulbs that aren't a ripoff.
Right.
And they're like, okay, yes, we'll only sell them to you, but they're because not allowed anywhere else.
Our little secret, but don't tell anybody. And yeah, also, we're not going to do this for anybody else. So just whatever.
I mean, I think like this is 100% the issue with the way capitalism works currently, like the way we practice it.
Yep. Yes. And that's kind of like the point that I tried. And when I explained this to them at the lighting store in person,
yeah,
I was actually like really proud of myself because I was very eloquent and very like
pointed,
concise, yeah, about it. I was right, like, but it's extremely wasteful to deliberately design an entire light fixture with all of those materials, mm-hmm, in addition to the LED, and then have to throw it all away 5 years into it. I mean, I'm going to own my house for decades. I'm just supposed to replace the exterior lights every 5 years. They're like, well, it's not actually going to be every 5 years. And I was like, right, but that's not really my point. Like, you're focusing on all of the wrong details here. The details that I'm concerned about are supporting financially and encouraging as a consumer this type of design, which is the basis for all of the problems that we are facing as a species,
yes,
right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, we have to say no at some point. And
right,
like we say, just pump the fucking brakes a little bit. Take your foot off the gas. Like, mm-hmm, let's not barrel at 9,000 RPM straight for the cliff. Like, that's right, this is cliff thinking.
Yeah.
All of this, like, I don't want to do that. And like the fact that they were instantly mad at me for not being, yes, on board with how the industry apparently works now, yes, is why we're all about to die,
right?
Frankly,
yeah,
I'm a heretic because we're all about to die.
God.
So I mean, this is just bullshit. Like, it is not surprising to me at all about the Dubai lamp thing,
right?
Like, there just is not enough pressure applied unilaterally in the right direction in other places to force this kind of innovative, edgy thinking. Like, you know how, I can't remember what branch or, like, philosophy of economics, I don't know if I could call it a philosophy, what thinking style in economics it is that says, like, oh, the market is the reason that innovation happens. The market, free market, it's, like, free market competition fuels innovation and, like, the best choices and all this. And I'm like, no, it fucking doesn't.
Right.
It fuels the lowest common denominator thinking, where we have to design the cheapest crap that lasts the least long and is designed to fail so more people will continue to buy more and more of it. So every quarter upon quarter, we're selling more and more shit. That's the type of thinking it encourages, not competition, not innovation.
Right.
Like, there's nothing innovative about the way that we live. We live in a flattened culture at this point.
Yeah.
It's all down. You have three choices, and behind the scenes, they're all owned by the same company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no, it's yeah.
There's two types of light bulbs in the world. There's LEDs that all the rest of us can have because they burn out quicker, and they're the LEDs that the United Arab Emirates get because they put pressure on Philips and they consume an awful lot of power, and so Philips was like, well, okay, we'll make an exception for you.
Right. God damn it. Sorry. Just fucking garbage.
You know, it is, yeah, garbage. Oh, my God. So I just I had to share this because, like, this is very clearly a design complaint on my part.
Yeah.
This is all about design. And I just didn't realize that this was such a problem. Like everything they told me at the store just surprised me to a new level where they're like, well, all of the lights are like this now. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when did that happen? And also, why isn't anybody upset about this? Like, this is such a dead end. This is dead end thinking. You know, this is also like, for some reason, like, we took our Subaru Crosstrek to Texas, right? And I pay attention to gas mileage because I've been driving my smart car cross country for decades. And I get almost 50 miles to the gallon on the freeway. And we took the Subaru Crosstrek, and I realized that it's like a sport vehicle and it's got all-wheel drive, even though it's completely fucking unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And like, all these things that kind of like degrade your gas mileage because you're making the car work harder in these weird ways. Spin all four tires mechanically at the same time, like put a motor on it. So like, I get that there's a degradation in the miles per gallon, but I didn't expect it to be like we were getting 16 miles on the freeway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I got 16 miles per gallon on the freeway in a van that was hauling a car behind it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, now the, why does my Subaru Crosstrek get such terrible gas mileage? I know they can design cars that get better gas mileage than that. We had a fucking touring vehicle.
Yeah.
To like 2019 Camaro with six cylinders that got almost as good as gas mileage as my smart car.
It's the all-wheel drive.
It's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
It was so disappointing. I was like, this is abysmal. They should be ashamed of themselves that this was all the better they could achieve. Like,
yeah. Oh,
I was furious. Also, the inside of that car, we're going to have to do an entire episode about the design flaws in the 2016 Subaru Crosstrek because that thing is the worst.
Yeah.
Like, everything's off center. It's impossible to sit in the car and have a symmetrical balance to your body while it's in the vehicle.
Right.
It's horrible. And these things don't matter on like a 15-minute drive, but when you're driving to Texas and back, you're like, why do my feet have to sit to the right of the midline of my body so that they're like forcing all my weight onto my left butt cheek right. in the seat? Like, what? Right. What is going on? But it's like these companies, these choices, there's choices behind every phenomenon that we see in things that are designed by people. Everything that is a built object made by a person had a whole cascade of design decisions that went into it. And those decisions are evident if you start to like really inspect the thing that you're talking about, whatever the object is. Like right. these things become apparent. Like somebody made the choice purposefully made mm-hmm. the choice to do what they did versus what they could have done. Mm-hmm. And what they do so oftentimes is designed to put more money back in their pocket and not designed to be the best functional object. It's not utilitarian. It's capitalist.
Right. No, it's just, yeah, it's everything.
Objects aren't, it's like they're not designed to do a job anymore unless the job is make the makers more money.
Well, yeah. I mean, inherently, the design of these products are designed to, attract and engage consumers to give money to the company.
Yep.
Like that is the ultimate goal, right? Like there's no incentive to do otherwise. I'm not saying there aren't maybe people out there who kind of like come into it with an idealized sort of idea, or you know, they have some ideals that they're trying to follow and they're like, I'm going to just make a really good product and then it's going to sell itself and it's going to be amazing. And you know, and maybe they start out that yeah. way, but as soon as you like get any traction and you start actually attracting any money, then the other money shows up and says, no, well, we want to make even more money, much more faster with more money. And so
right.
what we're going to do is forget your ideals, and where we're going to go with this is, you know, either gut your company and destroy it or turn it into, you know, a highly efficient money funnel.
Yes.
That's it. I mean, they're all just, you know, how efficient is your money funnel? That's the whole point. And if you're not efficient enough, you're just going to die anyway. You know, as a company, it's going to be destroyed. So,
right. Yeah. It's like, you know, like the whole concept of min-maxing things, like min-maxing yeah. in video games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like our culture has completely become oriented around min-maxing money, and that's it.
Right.
We don't select for any other purpose anymore.
No.
It's just that. How are you going to min-max your money? Through, like, flower seeds or lawnmowers or cars that only get 16 miles to the gallon on the freeway mm-hmm. or fucking what, you know what I mean? Like that's all it is. It's like, the question is what vehicle, not car, truck, van, vehicle, mm-hmm. what vehicle do you want to use to play the min-maxing money game?
Right.
That's all it comes down to.
I mean, that's why we have this podcast. It's because all the advertising. That's how we funnel all the money into the pockets.
I know. It's because we don't even have real jobs anymore. We just
sit around and podcast all day.
Collect the money.
Just let the bank roll in.
And then we don't spend it on lamps. Right. So, yeah. We now have a new acronym, HEMF, Highly Efficient Money Funnel.
Yep. HEMF. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, highly efficient. That is, is that hyphenated? Would that be just one Is it just HMF? Highly efficient money funnel.
I think that's two words. AG.
Okay.
AGMF. Hemp.
Great. Hemp. Perfect. So yeah, the light that I did get was cool, and I'm happy about that. And I'm also happy about the fact that it was only $50 because I don't, I mean, even though somebody else who's really me in the long roundabout way is paying for it, and it didn't matter how much it cost up to a certain point, I just didn't, I don't see the need to max it out just because I can. You know, I don't want to, I also don't really want like a highly precious outdoor light. Like, what if it gets smashed by hail?
Right.
You know, like that's the other thing. Like, I, how durable is it? Like,
right?
None of these things look that great. I just, it's kind of nuts to me, really, to get away from the integrated lighting thing and back to the complaints about, like, do I live in a horse barn? Like, what is this? Like, a lot of the lights look like they should be hung from the outside of a stagecoach.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Right. Yes.
When you're,
and this one looks a little like a torch. Sorry. It's
like just, yeah. Like, why do you, what? And so then I started thinking too about like all of these light designs are really like ersatz insofar as like they mimic a style that at the time the style was developed long ago and based on the materials it was originally developed for, it was very utilitarian, right? Like the iron with the glass in it that like you carry around, those were made to be like durable items. And now they make it out of this flimsy metal that's been like spray painted black so that it looks like cast iron but isn't really. And I'm like, okay, so like when you're designing for shit, which materials you select is kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like a core element of design, is like, what are you going to make it out of and why? Right. Like you,
right.
If it's going to go outdoors, it needs to be durable and waterproof. Why? Because there's water outside and the outside is rougher on things than the inside is. And it's got to withstand UV light and rain and all, and like snow and hail and wind and things like that. So it's got to, so like, I can see why back in the day you would want something really heavy duty, especially if it's a carriage lantern or it's going in a barn or it's going in an industrial space and has to have a cage around it so that like something doesn't smash into it and break the glass, or like in a gymnasium where the like clocks and lights have the cages around them so that a basketball doesn't break it and somebody gets glass raining on their head. All of these, like these, when you design for something, you're designing for a purpose, you're solving a specific problem that you've identified.
Right.
Right. So all of these designs that are like old timey with their like cagey metal and their weird see-through glass and all this stuff exposing just a bare bulb on the side of your house. Like, what is that design for? What is that for? It's not solving any problems with the design. It's just mimicking other designs that were better because they actually served a purpose in their context.
Right. Right.
So I'm just looking at all of these hideous lights and I'm realizing they don't even need to be hideous anymore.
No.
Because the design isn't actually serving a purpose. It's just like a throwback.
Right.
So it's just laziness. Laziness with worse materials that don't actually suit the purpose of the lamp at all. And I was like, all of these lamps are designed terribly.
Right.
Like all of them.
It's just so nuts. It's like, what is going on?
It was just such a, like, I was not prepared for how frustrating. I thought, I'm going to go online. I'm just going to find a light. It's going to be super easy. And it turned into this fucking fiasco.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
And it, like, it's like it opened a portal into a world of upset for me where I'm just like, what do you mean they're all made like this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Design sins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the sins of the design world. So I thought, you know, what this is really telling me is that you and I should give up our nascent careers. Well, I guess it's not nascent anymore since we've been doing this since 2019.
Yeah.
We should give up our 5-year career as unpaid podcasters and we should jump ship and just go into like lighting design. If we just actually designed lights out of durable materials that were suitable for their intended purposes, we'd be ahead of the whole rest of the field.
Right.
Like, which is kind of embarrassing.
Right?
If you're a lighting designer. I bet they're all designed by AI now.
Maybe we should do that.
Right?
Yeah. Why not?
ChatGPT, can you help me design a lamp?
Yeah, exactly.
At one point, I was so frustrated when I came home. Damon's like, did you find a light? I was like, oh, let me tell you what I found. It was not a light. It was a scandal. Uh-huh. So I told him all about it. And I'm just like in my state of outrage, like in disbelief. And I was like, oh my God. And I said, I can't find a light. I don't want to spend all this money. I don't want to throw it away. He's like, well, we can solder new LEDs. I was like, right, but that's not the point. I'm going to have to design and build my own light fixture, aren't I? And so many times I've arrived at this place, whether it's about a light fixture or a thingamajig for my garden or a whatever.
Right, right.
An axle on my wheelbarrow. I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm just like, I could have made this better. Why didn't I make this better?
Right.
I should make this better.
God.
So I have not designed a light fixture. I just bought a good one. It seems okay.
That's good.
I mean...
Yeah,
it's good because it's suitable for the location and the intended purpose, and it's probably not going to burn out, and it's also not super fancy or fragile. Like, it's fine. It's great.
Right, right.
Hi. Fuck.
Fuck indeed. God damn it.
Fucking fuck. It's so crazy to me when you get a glimpse into not only like a world that you've never really interacted with before, because I spent a huge amount of time sourcing the interior lights in my house. And for the most part, those fixtures at the time that I was looking were not integrated LEDs. It was before the time of integrated LEDs. And that was only a few years ago. You know what I mean? This has really happened recently. And I will admit that the designs... The overall shape and appearance of these integrated LED light bulbs or light fixtures are a lot of them really cool. Like, they're gravity defying and they change colors. And I mean, I love colors and lights. So, like, very cool, whatever. I understand the necessity for the integrated LED in some cases. I'm not completely oblivious to why it's made that way. I'm just so disappointed in the outcome.
Right, right.
But yeah, so I spent a lot of time looking at interior fixtures, and the ones that I got, I'm really happy with and have been. But like, fuck, I just did not have any clue.
I wonder, you know, I can kind of speculate how the Edison bulb became standardized. I can speculate on that. I can also, you know, it was a different time where getting rich wasn't the same as it is now, right? Like, it wasn't that you had to have constant profit. It was sort of like... very different. And so, but I'm wondering, like, what would it take to instigate a standardization for LED bulbs? That, because they don't need to be in that, the reason that they have those replacement bulbs, like the reason we're stuck with the Edison style, I forget what the name of that, there's a couple different sort of screw sizes,
like squirrel cage is one of them.
Yeah, there's like
an Edison style squirrel cage bulb is one.
But the reason we have that is because a lot of people have these legacy fixtures that still fucking work. Like, this is part of the reason I think nobody's up in arms about this. It's like, the people who are going and buying fixtures are developers who are like, don't fucking care. Put shit on the house and move on. Because they're in the fucking, they've got their own money funnel. So I don't give a shit.
Right.
And
and
the people who then now have these houses. But then there's the rest of us living in houses that are, you know, pre the switch to the the integrated LED bulbs. So now you're stuck in this situation where it's like a whole bunch of us, as we're slowly going out to replace fixtures, are suddenly being faced with some asshole who's like, it's been like this for 10 years. And I'm like, well, this is the first time I've had to buy a new fixture in 10 years.
Yeah, because I had fixtures up till now that were actually designed to be fucking durable.
Right. So anyway, I'm just curious how one might go about trying to create an LED bulb standard, because you can imagine like having like fixture sizes that are sort of standardized to allow for all these new interesting designs, but also have replaceable bulbs.
Yeah.
But
I like a lot of these new light fixtures, I think, are participating in kind of a fad, which is You know how you have like in my kitchen, on top of my cabinetry, I just tossed some LED strip lights up there, and then I control them with a little remote so I can change the color. And what it does is it just, you can't see them from standing on the kitchen floor or moving around in the kitchen. It just creates a glow on top of the cabinetry that reflects off the ceiling, and it looks cool. It's like this ambient light, and you can change the colors, and it's nice. So the ribbon lights are the ones that are really like very like hip right now. Like they're all over the place. Definitely seems like a fad. In 20 years from now, everybody's going to have them in their house, and people are going to be like, oh, did you buy that in like 2024?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And so I think that basically what's in them is either a panel with LEDs or essentially some version of what I have already, which is like a long single file string of LEDs that are then threaded into the fixture. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like a rope light.
Right.
You know, with the LEDs evenly spaced. And then it's got the opaque cover over it so that it creates an ambient glow and you don't see the individual LEDs lighting through the fixture.
Right.
It just looks like, it kind of looks like neon or like EL wire.
Yeah. I get you.
So like in those cases, I can understand why they designed it the way they did, because the overall form of the design dictates that you would need some kind of like a strip of LEDs in there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me necessarily. And I'm not a lighting designer, so I'm sure there's things that I'm completely missing here. But it doesn't make sense to me why in some of the other fixtures that are more ample in internal space, that are more like a traditional fixture that you would fit a light bulb inside of, those fixtures now have a flat disc of LEDs that are just built into the base of the fixture that shine upwards and give the appearance of it being lit in the traditional way by a light bulb that's glowing inside.
Right.
Except it's just a flat disc of LEDs on a single plane. And so, like, in order to replace those, I don't know how you'd pull them out one by one and replace them. It'd be a real pain in the ass. You'd probably just let a few of them burn out and not care. I don't know. But, like, I guess what I'm dancing around here is that in some of these other light fixtures, besides, like, the ribbon lights and things where the form factor is the dictator of the style of LED, I don't know why you would make that choice to use something like a disc with LEDs mounted on it in place of just an LED light bulb that can be swapped out.
I mean, I imagine it's sort of
like what motivated that choice. I wonder. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess like you might, part of the motivation would be that, there's some thought around the idea that it's like, well, we want people to be buying our product, like to be replacing the whole product.
Right.
You know, like that sort of planned obsolescence. There's also probably the issue of, you know, like, so are people kind of going and buying lights that like already have, like they're being sold these lights by those salesmen who are like, no, now you never have to replace the bulb. You just buy it one time. And they're not, you know, they're like, yeah, I mean, there's a 5-year warranty if it breaks in the next 5 years, but it won't. Break in 5.5 years. But like my point being is like they're probably selling them in a way they're thinking they're going to get customers to buy them, and they probably are getting customers to buy them with the idea that like you don't have to buy bulbs for this one. It's a selling point.
Yeah. Or people are just like paying their designers to go pick out lights for them, and the designers are not being discerning about the choices like I was and asking questions. Like they seemed totally baffled at the store that I was even coming up with these questions.
So like, many. I fucking that? Hate it. Yeah.
And I'm like, who asked that? You work in a store where your main, like, your main client base and customer base is like people designing interior and exterior spaces. And you're surprised that people are asking questions? Like, you work with designers. What's wrong with designers?
Right.
That's my next question.
Yeah.
I'm full of questions.
Yeah. It's just all questions all the way down.
It's just all questions. Why do you suck so much?
God.
Anyway.
Can I interest you in a slight pivot to our ending segment?
Are you wanting to direct my attention to the message that we've received from our design team?
Yes.
Our design team?
Our design team.
Clever, thoughtful questions at every turn?
Yes. That is 100% what I'm doing.
Excellent. Tell me all about it.
So if you're unfamiliar with our podcast, we try to have colors of the day at the end of our segment or as a closing segment. So that's what we're going to do right now. Design team sent us two colors. We always try to have two colors so that you have a good palette, or not really palette, but a good reference for the both yes. colors. They're more meaningful.
A contrast at the very least. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we could do a whole episode on contrast.
Yeah. Maybe ooh, I'm writing a note about that.
Yeah. Anyway, where was I? The colors. So our intrepid color research design team came up with two colors for the day. So if you are listening and today is your day, these colors are for you. They're going to change your life, change your whole day. So you've got inelegant contrariness and collective denizen. So inelegant contrariness has an RGB value. So this is a red, green, blue value of 79, 150, 174. So it's a fair amount of red, quite a lot of green, quite a lot of blue. The overall, I feel, to me, it has this like slate blue kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, it's very like grayish blue. Like there's a lot of, it's really muted. It's a bright blue.
Yeah.
It's like been, like the volume got turned down on it.
Yeah, yeah. And so the hexadecimal value, so what that means is it's a number that we're going to give you, and you can chuck this in the Googler, and it will show you the color that we're talking about. So the hexadecimal value for inelegant contrariness is hashtag 4F96AE. That's hashtag 4F96AE. The other color that's paired with this is the collective denizen, and that has an RGB value of 59, 86, 67. So again, not a lot of red, a bit more green, and then a little less blue. So you end up with this sort of like a military green almost.
But I was like, going to say it's kind of like an olive drab military, but it's got a little too much blue in it. To
agreed.
Be
yeah. It's not that
military color.
Yeah. Like it's got that kind of similar sort of like tonal range. But it's got, it's sort of almost like a chocolatey green. I don't know. It's
yeah. It's it's a really unusual green color. The blue and the green together remind me of the colors that you would see present in combination in like moss or lichens.
Yes.
Like lichens growing on a tree. They're it's like it's kind of bluish and greenish.
Like the colors when after it's been like on a rainy day. So you're not seeing them in the bright sunlight. The hexadecimal value for collective denizen is going to be hashtag 3Bravo5643. Once again, that's hashtag 3B5643.
Nice.
Yeah. So chuck them in the Googler. Have a look at them. Tell us what you think. Write us an email. Yeah. Like I said, send Dana an email, Dana at fcbm.io. Let us know what
tell
you think about the
thoughts.
Episodes. Yeah.
And send us your design gripes.
Yes, send us your design gripes indeed.
Tell us what chaps your ass. I've told you what chaps mine.
Yes, like, yeah. Just fucking outrage.
Outrage. Light bulb outrage. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe. Wash your hands. COVID's still a thing. Although thankfully sure people aren't quite dying as much from it, but
right. I know.
Yeah.
Oh, avian flu too. You never know when that's going to jump into people and we're all dead.
Right. Look forward to that.
Oh my God. Look forward to that. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to dying painfully.
Right.
Because light bulbs.
On a much lighter note, thanks for listening.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.